And greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Ni hao. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Guten Tag. Bonjour. Half a day. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now. Go vegan. Peace. Now. Go vegan. What do we want? Peace. When do we want it? Now. Well, forget about expecting it to come from child animal abuser, big game hunter, executioner, warmonger, meat eater, George W. Bush. You can create peace in the world and in your life today. Just go vegan. Well, from the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Industrial Corporation of the United States of Listeria, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And I hope you had a great World Go Vegan Day, as it is now celebrated on the first day of summer annually, a day when you are encouraged to live your life as a vegan, full of life, you know, not full of death like that diet of death. So on World Go Vegan Day, you're encouraged to eat nothing of animal origin. And is it that hard to abstain, really, from chomping on a cadaver just for one day, but preferably for good? You know, one day when you walk in the shoes of a vegan, so they wouldn't be leather, of course, and a day without fur or wool or silk. A day without animal exploitation. A day when you are aware of the personal and household products that you use and say, no, I won't use anything tested on animals. We've been celebrating World Go Vegan Day this week. Thanks to everyone who attended our sold-out World Go Vegan Day dinner at Millennium Restaurant in San Francisco this past Wednesday. If you're listening to this program right this very moment on the Los Angeles radio station that carries it, KTYM AM 1460, well then, it's Sunday afternoon and we've been enjoying our World Go Vegan Day lunch celebration at Vegetable Delight today in Granada Hills. If you're in the San Fernando Valley, we'll still be out here for a little bit longer, so you can come on over to Vegetable Delight at 17823 Chatsworth Street in Granada Hills by White Oak and Zelza. And we've been enjoying sweet and sour pork, of course with no pork, fish and brown sauce, which is delicious because there's no fish in it, and veggie lamb, except it has no lamb. Also tofu and vegetables, and we have soup and an appetizer, and all for $20. You get all of the entrees, soup, appetizer, and we'll be here till about 2:30 today if you want to stop by. And what a great celebration it was at Millennium on Wednesday, World Go Vegan Day. The event actually sold out 11 days in advance, kind of like a rock concert, you know? So the vegan thing is that popular, like a rock concert. Thanks to Ann Wheat at Millennium for making the spectacular point on World Go Vegan Day that vegans have the best food. We have the food, we have the facts, we have the logic, we have the ethics and the morality on our side. But most people, I presume, really mostly care that they like the food. I mean, when you ask a meat eater why he or she continues to consume a repulsive product that most likely will kill him or her, a product that destroys the environment and causes untold suffering and death to the innocent in numbers too astronomical to imagine, well, why would you continue to eat like that? Why would you eat that? I like it. It tastes good. That's what you hear from people. Well, Buddhist monks have been working on recipes for centuries to replicate the tastes and textures of meat and, to help you change your evil ways, baby. So check them out today at Vegetable Delight, if you like. Good sampling going on here. Or stop by anytime, except on Mondays when Vegetable Delight is closed. But now open for lunch on weekends, which is great. And hanging out in the Bay Area this week, it was great to see my old buddy Peter Finch. He does the morning news on KFOG, and he's been doing it for many years now. And I gave him his first break in radio when I was the program director at KXFM in Santa Maria. I hired Peter when he was still in high school. Well, now Peter is out of the closet. He's a big Go Vegan with Bob Linden listener, as is his son, Davis, who says he really likes the politics of this show, how I talk about how all of the world's problems would be solved if we all go vegan. And then I actually support those arguments with facts and studies and the like. So my journalist friend, Peter Finch, though, says, Bob, now, aren't you sensationalizing when you say one bite of a hamburger can kill you, one bite of a steak can kill you? And, you know, he probably thinks I keep saying that because...
I know, and you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
But facts are facts, and mad cow disease is in the herd here. We're not really looking for it. We don't want to find it. But one bite can be fatal. The problem is you don't just keel over when you have that bite. It's a dormant disease that could take years. But there it is. One bite of a cow burger can be fatal. Anyhow, Peter invited me to dinner at his house. He said he'd cook vegetarian for me. So I went back to where I was staying and stuffed my face in advance, just in case. And he had me read the ingredients for his vegetarian meal that he was going to cook. And I did point out that chicken broth is not really vegetarian. So we caught that in time. And his dog really liked his food a lot. It was delicious, Peter. No, really, I liked it. I liked it a lot. You know, when I sent you off to find the scrapbook from KXFM, you know. The food was delicious. And your dog really likes it. So, Peter, what's up with the Crest toothpaste in the bathroom on World Go Vegan Day, huh? That's Procter & Gamble tested on animals, so, huh? Anyway, good to see Peter and his wife Alice and their wonderful children who put up with my very vegan conversation at dinner, his daughter Julia trying to escape, but she wasn't allowed. She had to listen. She has vegan friends, so it won't be long. And Alice, though, Peter's wife, said, gosh, it sounds like it's too late for us. Well, it's never too late because, as we find, heart disease is reversible. We find that from Dr. Dean Ornish and his work. And the body is quite forgiving, even when you put foreign substances in, like meat and dairy. Again, thanks to all who made World Go Vegan Day a success selling at our Millennium Dinner. And it was great to see Dr. Elliot Katz of In Defense of Animals at the dinner. And the new issue for In Defense of Animals relates to captive birds. And we'll have a discussion of that on this show in the near future. But you can also go to idausa.org. Thanks to Philip and Libra, who came all the way to Millennium in San Francisco from Los Angeles just to celebrate World Go Vegan Day. Hans and Vera Eberle and their 5-year-old daughter. Hans now splits his donations between Go Vegan Radio and the Pacifica station, KPFA, because he's upset that Pacifica seems to be ignoring vegan and vegetarian and animal rights issues. But it was great to see Hans and Vera, Kenneth G. Williams, champion bodybuilder, and Dixie May of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, the longtime president, and she's been a guest recently on this show. And you can listen to her interview on the archived programs at goveganradio.com. And no way would you think that Dixie is 72 years young. It's really hard to believe. And she's been vegetarian for such a long time. Before all the health food stores and you know, everything that that we have for us today as vegan vegetarians. And on the show, she mentioned back then that part of her veg-ucation came from Seventh-day Adventists who had information on being vegetarian. And in fact, we will be talking today about the Seventh-day Adventist message of health related to vegetarianism with Judith Miranda and Jewel McKeever and Ed Cabell coming up in just a little bit here. I also wanted to thank Virginia Handley of Paw Pack in the Bay Area for her hospitality, as well as Michelle Tsai and Bob O'Brien. And Virginia with Paw Pack, of course, slipped me some material that I would imagine she would like mentioned on the air. A few of the items being considered for legislation, California legislation. Right now there's AB 734 by Assemblyman Mervyn Dimoli regarding kangaroos, and Virginia and PawPack suggest you oppose this legislation, which would allow the importation of currently prohibited kangaroo products into California. And she says to write your state senators on that one. And she also noted AB 2485 by Assemblyman Dave Jones regarding sea otters, and says you should support this one. It establishes a research program to reduce sea otter mortality from pollution. It requires there's a sign on cat litter asking that it not be flushed down toilets, thus protecting water quality. And it establishes the California Sea Otter Fund on tax return forms to provide contributions to hire game wardens and pay for research. So she suggests you write your state senators, including Mike Machado, the chair on that one. So that's AB 2485 in support of sea otters. And Virginia expresses opposition to SB 1032, Senator Dennis Hollingsworth, regarding hunting, which would allow out-of-state hunters to kill elk and antelope. So you write your assembly members on that one, suggests Virginia. SB 1485, Senator Dennis Hollingsworth, regarding alligators. Seeming like Dennis Hollingsworth is not much of a friend of animals from what he's proposing here. Anyway, it removes the current prohibition on the importation and sale of alligator and crocodile products for 3 years. And you can write your assembly members on that. And also, Virginia says SB 1578, Senator Alan Lowenthal, regarding tethering. You should support this. It prohibits tethering dogs for more than 3 hours a day. And you write your assembly members on that. Okay, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, coming up, I mentioned the discussion of the health message from Seventh-day Adventists, and I also want to, let's see, where are we on time here, just quickly mention that there was the International Whaling Commission meeting that was taking place. We've had this subject on the program recently, and so out of the media in New Zealand, it says Japan wins a crucial vote. On Monday, Japan won a crucial vote, undermining a 20-year moratorium on commercial whaling at the IWC meeting. The non-binding declaration claims the moratorium is no longer valid and blames whales for depleting fish stocks. I suppose whales are supposed to eat ice cream or something, huh? It also says non-governmental organizations are a threat. The resolution was passed with a 33-32 vote, but a 75% majority is needed, so it's kind of a meaningless vote, but Japan is trying to throw out the moratorium on whaling. About 25,000 whales have been killed since the moratorium started. So check the website. It's stopwhaling.org, stopwhaling.org. Also, the Sea Shepherd is vowing to be out protecting whales again in the sanctuary. You'd think they'd be protected there, huh? Okay. Anyway, so I thank you for listening. Happy World Go Vegan Day week, and we will continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I ask that you help support the show. You know, we have to pay for airtime each and every week, and it's free speech is expensive, and I have to pay the radio stations, and you can make a tax-deductible donation to Go Vegan Radio, payable to Go Vegan Radio, mail to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego 92164. You can also donate online at goveganradio.com, where the program is archived and where we podcast. Thanks for listening. Go vegan. Stop eating animals. I'm always talking about how delicious Veganaise is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Veganaise. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Veganaise? Or a tofu burger with Veganaise? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Vegenaise in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Vegenaise in a book about stroke prevention. Yet there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Weavers, M.D., Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Vegenaise, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere. Okay, and stop giving your family the bird when you can give your family chicken-free chicken, also from Follow Your Heart, and vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. They melt, so you don't have to have dairy on your nachos, your pizza, and your enchiladas with vegan gourmet cheese alternatives from Follow Your Heart. And I'd like you also to become aware of Health Force Nutritionals. This is a company that can really make a difference to your health and help you cleanse and heal and rejuvenate. Dr. Jameth Sheridan has been an expert lecturer and has appeared on this program, and he's formulated Vitamineral Green, containing 60 to 70% more superfoods, but costing about the same as others on the shelf. It was designed to be the most nutrient-dense superfood product ever offered. And you get full spectrum of naturally occurring, absorbable, and non-toxic vitamins, minerals, including calcium and trace minerals, no synthetic or isolated nutrients. What you get from Vitamineral Green are all the essential amino acids. Yes, that's how you get your protein. Antioxidants, fatty acids, chlorophyll, fiber, tens of thousands of phytonutrients, and so much more. It sounds nothing like meat, does it? It actually sounds good for you. Visit healthforce.com to see and check out all the other products from HealthForce, which is a totally vegan company. There you have greener grasses, a dense combination of nutritional grasses, truly natural vitamin C, digestion enhancement enzymes, non-GMO lecithin powder, nopal cactus, and for your animal family members, green mush. Visit healthforce.com.
Oh, no, now you're going to give it to people. Animal burgers.
Ooh, what a terrible idea that is. You'd be better off giving the people Toby's delicious tofu spread and dip. It's one that I discovered while wandering the aisles of Whole Foods, and in the refrigerated section I saw four rows of Toby's tofu pate, roasted garlic and red pepper, mild jalapeno, classic lemon dill, and martini olive, and all sounded great to me. I noticed that the tofu was organic, so that appeals to me also, as did the flavors of all of them. Now, after I learned there is one variety called Original that is not suitable for vegans, but the four that I mentioned are totally delicious, totally vegan. Roasted garlic and red pepper, mild jalapeno, classic lemon dill, and martini olive. Great for parties, great on crackers, and it's a great dip, great on bagels. But just don't take my word for it. Take your word for it. Check it out. You can get a free container by calling 1-800-600-TOFU, 1-800-600-TOFU, and ask for your free container of Toby's, or email info at tobysfamilyfoods.com.
M-E-A-T-S-T-I-N-K-S. Meat stinks.
Yep, got to hold your nose. Well, here's walking through the aisles of some stores. I mean, I look for the clothespins first, walk around the store with a clothespin on my nose. There's a great novel out. Everybody's talking about it, enjoying it. It's Animal Instinct, a plot-driven thriller, introducing the uninitiated to our animal rights causes while further educating activists. You can buy it for your meat-eating friends and for your savvy animal rights friends, too. They'll actually recognize some of the movement's historical leaders. Like who? Well, read the book. Find out. What about Paul and Linda McCartney? Well, read the book. Ingrid Newkirk? Read the book. So check it out. It's Animal Instinct. You can go to animalinstinctnovel.com. There are five-star reviews at amazon.com where you can order the book. Dorothy H. Hayes, wonderful writer and journalist. She was just in town. Actually, she said to me, Bob, your life is a situation comedy. And we decided, well, let's try to write a situation comedy. So she came to town last week and observed my life. My life at the South Central Farm. My life with six patrol cars coming at me in San Diego, where the seals live. I think there's a situation comedy in there somewhere. But right now, there's a novel. It's Animal Instinct, so check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it.
This is Go Begin with Bob Linden.
And we continue. And it's quite interesting that there's a rich history of being vegan that even goes to the Bible in the book of Genesis. Verse 29, book 1, verse 29, where it says to be vegan, right? Some people take that literally, whereas today on a Sunday, there are probably lots of church barbecues going on. All over. Hard to believe, right? So, and as I mentioned before in speaking to Dixie May of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, when she was becoming vegetarian many years ago, one of the only sources she had for information was the Seventh-day Adventists and who had foods out. And recently, Judith Miranda, who discovered this program on the radio, KTYM, said, somebody talking about vegetarianism and being vegan. She called me and invited me out to an Adventist church, and I saw some of the films, educational films, where there was an advocacy for being vegan very strongly. And today we're very happy to have Judith Miranda and Ed Cavell and Jewel McKeever with us today. From Seventh-day Adventists, and I thought maybe we would explore what Dixie explored decades ago and see the basis for this and the religious beliefs of Seventh-day Adventists. And welcome, Brother Ed. How are you?
By God's grace and mercy, I'm doing just fine.
Great to have you here today. So, yes, enlighten us.
Okay, Bob, gladly. The leading causes of death, according to the National Center for Health Statistics, revealed the following. One out of every two persons who die this year will die from heart disease. One out of every three people who die this year will die from cancer. Of this group, 211,000 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer, and 43,300 will die. One out of every nine persons will die from a stroke. 7% of the population has diabetes. A recent United Nations study revealed that nearly 400 million people will die from chronic diseases in the next 10 years. Well, haven't we all heard the statistic that this present generation is living longer? How could this be when the death rate is staggering year after year? The reason is simple. People have increased longevity because of technology. Our present population actually lives shorter quality lives while taking longer to die. Let's take an introspective look at the number one killer of all diseases. Modern researchers and scientists have all concluded that heart disease is a disease caused by eating, and so is cancer, diabetes, and strokes. Are you aware that the first case of heart disease was reported in 1912? It was very rare in those early years for people to die from heart disease. The reason being is that only the rich could afford to put meat on the table each day. The majority of Americans then ate rice, beans, potatoes, vegetables, and fruits, food items that they could grow on their land. When families' income grew larger, so did the number associated with heart disease. Today, heart disease kills millions worldwide. But did you know that heart disease is not a disease you catch like getting a cold or the flu? An animal-based diet causes plaque to clog up your arteries, stopping the flow of oxygen and nutrients to your heart muscle. And when your arteries finally plug up completely, you have a heart attack. So it did not take much logic to figure out that the diet with the lowest risk factors for heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and stroke is a diet free of all animal products. We call a diet free from animal products a plant-based diet or a vegan diet. People who are receptive to a diet change and better health are switching to a vegan lifestyle. There is a growing number of vegans in the U.S., but within this category of people called vegans are found two very distinct groups. One group believes in God, hold God's holy word as the foundation for all their beliefs, and follow his commands as principles of right living. And the second group does not believe in God. The latter group comprised those classified as atheists. Hello, my name is Ed Cabell. I'm a health reform educator and vegan for the last 31 years. At this time, I would like for my two team members to introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Judith Miranda.
And I'm Jewel McKeever.
For the next few minutes, we will attempt to clarify the difference between God-fearing vegans and vegans who are atheists. I will present the causes for veganism among those who believe in God and order their lives by living according to God's health laws and commands for righteous living, while Judy will speak to the reason why atheists advocate a vegan diet, and Jewel will emphasize the spiritual, psychological, and social aspect of a vegan diet. First, let us begin with God's original design for man and woman. God gave us many things, but I would mention just a few to highlight a point. God gave us feet to walk, ears to hear, hands to feel and touch, nose to smell, eyes to see, mouth to speak, teeth to eat, a stomach to digest food, and a brain to think. Please note that our teeth are very different from those of animals who eat other animals. Our teeth were designed to crush food like seeds, nuts, vegetables, and fruit, while a lion, tiger, and other carnivorous hunters have long, sharp teeth for tearing flesh. It is interesting also to point out that our stomachs were never designed to keep meat in a digestive process for up to 4 days until the meat rots like it does in the stomachs of other animals. In order to know what are the best foods, we must study God's original plan for man's diet. God, who created man and who understands his need, appointed Adam his food. "Behold," God said, "I have given you every herb-bearing seed and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for food." Upon leaving the Garden of Eden to gain his livelihood by tilling the earth under the curse of sin, man received permission to also eat the herbs of the field. Grains, fruits, nuts, and vegetables constitute the diet chosen for us by our Creator. These foods, prepared in as simple and natural a manner as possible, are the most helpful and nourishing. They impart a strength, a power of endurance, and a vigor of intellect that are not afforded by a more complex and stimulating diet. God gave our first parents the food he designed that the race should eat. It was contrary to God's plan to have the life of any creature taken. There was to be no death in the Garden of Eden. The fruit of the trees in the garden was the food man's wants required. The question at this point is simple. Is there proof that God's design is the best diet for the human race today? Well, let us reason together. Just as General Motors, Ford, and Toyota auto manufacturers know what type of gasoline and oil is best for each particular model and engine, God also knew what was best for Adam and Eve. In his word, 1 Corinthians 6, chapter, verses 19 and 20, the Apostle Paul declares, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Please note, when the Spirit of God dwells in one, his or her body is no longer theirs, but simply in their care. It is their duty to care for it as God's property. The spiritual vegan know that God does not want them to defile their body temple. When God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, it was his purpose to establish them in a land of Canaan, a pure, happy, healthy people. Let us look at the means by which he would accomplish this. He subjected them to a course of discipline, which had it been cheerfully followed, would have resulted in good, both to themselves and to their posterity. He removed flesh fruit from them in a great measure. He had granted them flesh in answer to their clamors just before reaching Sinai, but it was furnished for only one day. God might have provided flesh as easy as manna, but a restriction was placed upon the people for their good. It was his purpose to supply them with food better suited for their wants than the feverish diet to which many of them had been accustomed to in Egypt. The perverted appetite was to be brought into more healthy state than that which might enjoy the food originally provided for man, the fruits of the earth which God gave to Adam and Eve in Eden. Isn't it interesting that the first group of people on earth lived hundreds of years? Adam lived 930 years, Enoch lived 905 years, Methuselah lived 969 years before facing death. But when God gave man permission to eat meat, man's lifespan dramatically was reduced to 70 years on the average. Can you imagine sinners like child molesters, murderers, thieves living over 900 years? Man had become very sinful with every thought and deed being evil. Therefore, God limited their years on the earth. Now the answer to the question, is there proof that God designs the best diet for the human race today? Listen to the words of this new California state law, ACR 16, that went into effect January 27, 2003. Whereas the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Cancer Society, the American Dietetic Association, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, the USDA, and the National Institute of Health recommend that there be a greater emphasis in the American diet on fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and legumes, with a reduction in the consumption of animal foods. Now, isn't it interesting that all these organizations and health agencies came into agreement that a plant-based vegan diet is the healthiest of all diets, and therefore the Word of God still stands firm? Meat eating is the major cause of degenerative diseases. The Word of God is an important factor in the maintenance of health. Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verses 20 to 22 reads, "My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh." And closing, Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." With all of this available information supported by empirical data on how to live a happy and healthy life free from all diseases, it is no wonder that a second group of people emerge with the same vegan message, but without God as the author. Now, Judy Miranda.
Okay. Oh, and this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. We're examining the beliefs of Seventh-day Adventists. That was Ed Cabell and Judith Miranda now.
I'm going to attempt to make two comparisons. Vegans who, as Ed just explained, vegans who believe in God. And I'm just going to give you a few points on the importance of, well, actually, I'll just talk a little bit about vegans who do not believe in God, who has his diet but refuse to accept him as their savior. Vegans without God, this diet does not really work in itself without God's authoritative, continued guidance in their life. God gave us this diet to relieve suffering for ourselves as well as others. And if we read in Exodus 15:26, God tells us that if we would keep his commandments, he will not put none of these diseases on our bodies, and he would bring healing. Vegans without God also fail to follow God's health laws and therefore are at high risk for developing diseases. And I just want to kind of look at four different aspects of some of the diseases that one might develop. And the first one I think I would like to share with you, it's really big, and apparently it causes more than 100,000 lives and death each year, and that one is smoking. Smoke, as I said, it causes not only lung cancer, but cancer of the lip, the mouth, the throat, voice box, trachea, stomach, liver, pancreas, bladder, kidneys, cervix, leukemia, colon, skin, and man, yes, I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but it also causes cancer of the penis. Alcohol. This is another big, in fact, one of Americans, they call it the most nuisance drugs. Alcohol, illegal, I guess it is. They refer to it as being. Alcohol beverages are regarded by social analysts as America's number one public enemy. This beloved enemy claims more than also 100,000 deaths. In fact, you know what? Excuse me. I'm sorry. I said smoking causes more than 100,000 lives deaths, but smoking causes more than that. Smoking causes more than 240,000 lives a year. And alcohol causes more than 100,000 lives a year in America. This is five times as much as illegal street drugs combined causes. In Proverbs 20 in the Bible, God talks about 20 verse 1. God says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived by it is not wise." So we're told that the key here is deceived. So if we're drinking wine, and you know a lot of people would say, well, wine is good for you. Well, is it really good for you, or is it the grapes, that the grape juice that makes the wine, which is good? But if you mix wine with alcohol, then the attributes of that it's really bad. And God tells us that the key word here that whoever is deceived by it, it's not wise. So strong drink and wine, we are not to put consume into our bodies. The next one we would like to look at is caffeine. Now, this is a really big one. I mean, caffeine comes in everything. Chocolates, tea, coffee, or whatever.
It's in coffee? Oh, no.
It's in coffee. Oh, yes. No. I'm sorry, Bob. It is in coffee. Caffeine impairs the brain 8 ways, tends to produce dependency, can cause drug withdrawals, reactions, and causes even worsens psychotic illnesses, impairs physical and mental performance, interferes with sleep, caffeine, and gossip. Now, this is something that is really amazing. When I looked at this, it's amazing. When these tea and coffee users meet together for social entertainment, the effects of their pernicious habits are manifested. All partake freely of their favorite beverages, and as the stimulating influences is felt, their tongues are loosened and they begin the wicked work of talking against others. The words are not few or well chosen. So caffeine, I think, is something we really need to stay away from if it causes us to gossip. But not only that, it causes lots of other problems with the heart. It allows their blood pressure to go high and various problems caffeine does to the body. Caffeine may also be a co-carcinogen, contributing to the development of cancers of the kidney, breast, colon, pancreas, and various other body parts, as well as the bladder. Another one I like to talk about is addictions. What is an addiction? Surprisingly, when the experts give different definitions as to what constitutes addiction, for example, Stedman's Medical Dictionary defines it as habitual, psychological, and physiological dependencies on a stopped substance or practice that is beyond voluntary control. Radio friends, we're talking about the difference between being a vegan and having God as our supreme, as our Lord, and just having this diet without God. So if we compare, I mean, if you're a vegan, and if you wake up every morning knowing that you're not on your own, you're eating your breakfast, you're praying, you're doing whatever things, and knowing that the Lord is restraining us from doing things that could be harmful to our bodies, that is, you know, it's good to know. But to be a vegan and having to be faced with all these different temptations and not believing in God, it's, I think it's a little bit alarming and it's scary. So, if I may say, it really, really makes sense to be a vegan with God, because I've been on both sides of the fence. Some years ago, when I was really young, in my early teens, kind of like, I was a vegetarian, and I did not believe in God then. And I know the difference to, you know, just to be a vegetarian and really not have any hope. I still did not really have too much of a hope. I mean, things didn't matter that much. I knew I didn't eat animals, but that was it for life. So, and now that I believe in God and I have this vegan diet, I can honestly say that there is a big difference, because it's nice to know that, you know, I don't have to carry burdens on my own. It's good to know that I can, you know, ask God to help me. Even sometimes I'm dying. I would sometimes be driving somewhere, and sometimes I take a shortcut home, and all this barbecue stuff is smelling. And, you know, I've been a vegan not a long time, maybe 5 years, but vegetarian 15 years. But sometimes an urge comes there, and I say, Lord, I don't want to touch this stuff, so you have to help me. And it's so beautiful to know that just the whisper of prayer, that God is there to restrain those feelings that would perhaps, if I didn't pray, didn't know him, I would just, you know, give in and probably do my own thing. So it makes a big difference when we serve God and have this vegan diet and without the vegan diet. I think that's it, and now I'll allow Jill to.
Okay, and this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. We are examining the beliefs of Seventh-day Adventists and health issues and their beliefs here on Go Vegan. And we talked to Jewel McKeever now after Judith Miranda. And hi, Jewel. How are you?
Hi, Bob, and thank you for allowing us to be here. So far, we've spoken about the physical aspects of our health and how putting certain substances in our body affect our overall health and well-being. Ed Cabell spoke about the wonderful vegan diet that was given to man from the beginning to ensure optimum health and is needed especially today considering environmental dangers. Judith Miranda talked about drugs and harmful substances that, if taken, can cause serious health concerns in spite of having a vegan diet. It is a known fact that we are not only physical, but spiritual, psychological, and social beings. Hopefully, what we will see today is that when we have a balance of the four, it is only then that we have a clear picture of health as God intended for His children. It is often said that we are what we eat, but I'd like to suggest that we are not only what we eat, but we are what we think and feel, and even what we imagine. It is only when we have a basic understanding of this concept that we can begin to understand the relationship between the mind and health. I'd like to read a quote from a book entitled Mind, Character, and Personality. And by the way, I'm going to be giving quite a few quotes, and they will be from the same book, Mind, Character, and Personality. And this is how it reads. Many of the diseases from which man suffer are the result of mental depression. Grief, anxiety, discontent, remorse, guilt, distrust all tend to break down the life forces and invite decay and death. Today, I'd like to discuss some virtues that can impact our lives in ways that we may never thought of before. Based on biblical and other references, we can see that the God who gave us the vegan diet is also the one who gave us these virtues. And apart from Him, these things cannot exist as He intended. And the four virtues that I'd like to speak about are love, joy, peace, and hope. Love is something that every person desires. You might be wondering what love has to do with health or the topic of veganism with or without God. Well, I'd like to start by reading another quote because I think it can explain it much better than I can. The words are perfect. It reads, courage, hope, faith, sympathy, love promote health and prolong life. A contented, cheerful spirit is health to the body and strength to the soul. So you can see the connection that's drawn. It says, among other things, love promotes health. Love is something that we all need. I think we can all agree on that. We need it to thrive and grow. And the Bible tells us that God is love. So how does one who doesn't acknowledge the existence of God learn to love or have the ability to love? I'd like to read another quote, and it says, the unconsecrated heart cannot originate it, speaking of love, or produce it. It is only in the heart where Jesus reigns that it can be found. So apart from God, we cannot fully understand the love that He intended for His children. So what is this love that can exist only where God reigns supreme? Can it be replaced with the giving of gifts in a world where much value is placed on material things? No, I think we can all agree it doesn't. There's no substitute for this kind of love. So is it the type of love that we see portrayed on television and Hollywood movies where men and women fall in and out of love? No, it's not that kind of love either. This type of love that you see on the movies and in television is a counterfeit love because it is awakened by impulse and it dies when severely tested. The pure love of God is an unselfish love. It is not an emotion or impulse, but It is a decision of the will. When we have this type of love, that means we're no longer consumed with our own lives and desires. When a person accepts God into his life, self is submerged, and the result is this type of love. Next, I'd like to speak about joy. The dictionary defines joy as a condition of deep feeling of pleasure or delight, happiness, gladness. There is a scripture in the Bible that I've learned to love and repeat from time to time, and it's found in Psalm 16:11. It says, "Thou will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." In God's presence, there is fullness of joy, and that means enough and more than enough to satisfy the child of God. The pleasures that God gives, are eternal. The things that the world offers are temporal, but God has a storehouse of pleasure that can never be exhausted. I'd like to look at two things that will give us joy, and looks like I need to hurry up here, but we're going to look real fast at two things that can give us joy. The first one is to keep our thoughts centered on the mercy and love of God. It is a law of nature that our thoughts and feelings are encouraged and strengthened as we speak to them. This is the reason why you don't necessarily have to have God as a part of your life in order to see the results from practicing these principles. But without God, the results are temporal. As I read in the scripture earlier, it states that fullness of joy in God's presence. This is the eternal joy. We would benefit greatly from keeping our thoughts fixed on God, on His goodness and His love toward us, being appreciative and thankful for the things that He has given us and the things that He has done for us. And we will find that even on this earth, where there's much chaos, confusion, and sorrow, we can find this never-failing, never-ending wellspring of joy. If I may address the second one, there is a rule.
I think we're just about running out of time here, so... maybe a minute left that we have, and maybe we can wrap up that the health message and the beliefs of Seventh-day Adventists here. Judith?
Okay, I just wanted to say that Adventist women live on an average of 9 to 11 years longer than other women in America, even though they live and work in the same communities. And Seventh-day Adventist men live 5 to 7 years longer than other men in America. So, radio friends, I just want to tell you that, you know, keep on keeping on and eating good, having a good vegan diet. But remember, God is the author of the vegan diet. So if you take a partial of this health message, you know, you don't get the full benefits. And we don't want you to get diseases. We want you to be healthy. We want you to be in the statistics of those who live long. And God bless you.
Statistically, Seventh-day Adventists have shown longevity compared to the regular meat-eating population. So, and for more information, yes?
For more information, you can call 818-458-8884. 818-458-8884.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Judith, Ed, Jewel, for being on Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. It's a pleasure having you with us today. We move now into our calendar, and I just want you to know that if you are planning a trip, a vacation, go online and check out happycow.net. Happycow.net is a worldwide guide to vegetarian restaurants and health food stores with listings in over 90 countries, and the website offers user-friendly features such as printer-friendly text, handy for road trips. It's happycow.net, happycow.net. You can make a donation to Last Chance for Animals, and a percentage of that will go to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Yes, Last Chance for Animals, doing its work on investigations, legislation, education, trying to get the elephant sent to a sanctuary from the LA Zoo. The mailing address, and make sure you note that you're sending the donation because of Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Last Chance for Animals is at 8033 Sunset Boulevard, Los Angeles 90046. The website is lcanimal.org, and you can make donations there. You can do you can donate online, have a monthly giving program, and it's a go to lcanimal.org to see what's been going on with them lately. And Chris DeRose, one of the heroes of the animal movement. Next Friday is a free video night at the Red Victorian Peace Cafe, as it is the last Friday of the month. Always at 1665 Haight Street near Ashbury in San Francisco. Vegan food available before the show. For next Friday, it's Dr. John McDougall, and his subject is marketing, milk, and disease. And actually, throughout the summer, gosh, in July, it'll be Ingrid Newkirk, and in August, Dr. Neil Barnard. All of these will be from last year's Vegetarian Day celebration in San Francisco in October. So I'm looking forward to being there this year, too. I was there a few years ago. Great turnout in the Fort Mason area. So check the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, sfvs.org, sfvs.org. Now, if your omega-3s are a little fishy, well, too bad, because then you're actually depleting the oceans of marine life, and fish and fish oils often contain mercury and heavy metals and PCBs and other toxins that accumulate in marine environments. Now you can benefit from the original vegan omega-3 DHA supplement. It's Omega Zen 3 from Nutru. Yes, Omega Zen 3, available at all Southern California Whole Foods locations. It provides you with your omega-3s in an all-natural, once-a-day formulation derived from natural, plant-based marine sources, grown in controlled, pollution-free conditions in a totally vegan format. No animal contaminants. In fact, Nutru's Omega Zen 3 has been evaluated by the Environmental Defense Organization Oceans Program as a best-choice product, with test results showing no mercury, PCBs, dioxins, or other similar contaminants. So what you're getting is a highly concentrated extra strength omega-3 DHA with a special nutraceutical composition that has twice the active ingredient of omega-3 DHAs elsewhere. And as I said, available at all Southern California Whole Foods locations, and known to enhance brain function, cardiovascular system. So definitely check it out. I think you'll be glad with Omega Zen 3.
Still eating meat? How 20th century?
Yeah, and you don't have to be, because there are wonderful vegan restaurants around, like Truly Vegan in Hollywood, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard. And breakfast specials. Breakfast is served all day, and you can get, hash browns, tofu scramble, and soy bacon strips. Also, blueberry pancakes, tofu scramble, and a soy wiener. Simply pancakes with hash browns, soy sausage or soy ham, and hash... Yeah, Judith here. Truly is great. Yeah, hash browns, tofu scramble, soy wiener. Wonderful restaurant. I really like the sushi there, which is quite delicious. And what was it? An avocado and mushroom sushi, I think it was, that I really enjoyed. So Truly delivers, and Truly can cater your next event. Call 323-466-7958. 323-466-7958 for Truly at 5907 Hollywood Boulevard. It says right on the menu, we want to make a positive and healthful contribution to society. By using products that are animal-free, we're making a statement to ourselves and others that we are conscientious eaters acting toward the greater good of all beings. That from Truly Vegan.
Elephants don't belong in zoos. Please let them go to a sanctuary.
That's right, especially after the death of Gita at the Los Angeles Zoo. Pressure's on the mayor, Mayor Villaraigosa, to live up to his campaign promise to send the elephants to a sanctuary and close down the elephant exhibit at the zoo, which the city of L.A. somehow can find $50 million for an elephant exhibit, but nothing for the homeless, nothing for the South Central farmers. I think I had some notes on what was going on with the South Central farmers. I believe that they're having a vigil still every night at 7 at the farm, even though they've been kicked off the property by L.A. County Sheriff's Department and LAPD. There is a trial going on July 12th to determine the validity of the ownership of Horowitz. So we'll keep you updated on that. And if you want to go over, check it out. It's 41st and Alameda, 7 p.m. Daily. And a book that a lot of people are talking about. The interview was on this program a few weeks ago with Kim Sheridan. And her book is Animals and the Afterlife. Do animals have souls? What happens when they die? This book has amazing answers. This is the Forward Magazine Book of the Year Award winner. You can go to animalsandtheafterlife.com. Animalsandtheafterlife.com. Susan Chernak McElroy, author of Animals as Teachers and Healers, said, Kim has done a lovely, heart-touching job with a mysterious and controversial topic. It is her genuineness and passion that lift the topics of animals all the way to kingdom come, where their souls most surely reside. Much, much here for reflection, for insight, and for inner peace for all who have loved and lost an animal family member. Again, that's animalsandtheafterlife.com. On to animal news and views. Yes? Okay. Let's go vegan with Bob Linden. And I just want you to know that recently, according to Brad Pacheco, Public Affairs Office of CalPERS, California Public Employees Retirement System in Sacramento, as of quite recently, CalPERS had $25.4 million invested in Tyson Foods, one of the world's largest slaughterhouses of chickens, pigs, and cows, and judged one of the world's 10 worst corporations by Multinational Monitor magazine. According to Multinational Monitor, Tyson Foods hires workers who are underage and legally not allowed to work in an industry which already exploits workers. According to a PETA website, Killing for a Living, How the Meat Industry Exploits Workers, www.goveg.com, the farmed animal industry exploits poor people, immigrants, and children, and does little to protect workers from workplace hazards. As you know, working in the slaughterhouse is about the most dangerous job in America. A PETA undercover investigator who worked at Tyson Foods at a chicken processing plant on a slaughter line uncovered ongoing abuse and cruelty toward the chickens. Conscious chickens mutilated, scalded to death, and their heads ripped off while they were alive. You can go to torturedbytyson.com, torturedbytyson.com. This kind of treatment of animals, quote, is a total failure in animal welfare, states a USDA humane consultant quoted on the website. Chickens have no protection under federal animal welfare legislation. However, it is well known that factory farmed cows and pigs, which do, really are not treated humanely either. So even if you're not a California public employee, please write to the president of CalPERS Board of Directors and ask that CalPERS divest its stock in Tyson Foods. Spread the word to any California public employee you know and ask them to write also. It's shameful that CalPERS should invest in a corporation that abuses people and animals. Most people would rather retire with a clean conscience knowing their pension money doesn't come from sources which create suffering and misery for others. So you can write to Rob Fechner. He's the president. Rob, F-E-C-K-N-E-R, president, board of directors, CalPERS, 400 Q Street in Sacramento, zip 95814, 95814. See how we're doing on time here. Always running out. Okay, I mentioned what's going on with South Central Farmers. So vigils at 7 p.m. daily there. Let's see, the California Assembly's Agriculture Committee is scheduled to hold a hearing on June 28th to consider the most recent Monsanto law, SB 1056, an attack on the rights of counties to regulate genetically engineered crops. SB 1056 would prevent cities and counties from passing any local regulations on seeds, including a prohibition on GE crops, while undermining existing local ordinances that restrict GE in agriculture and prohibiting any future citizen initiatives relating to food and agriculture. So you can take action on that. And the USDA is close to approving genetically engineered plums. Look out, look out. Plums, genetically engineered, they're on the way, and that'll open the door for genetically engineered peaches and cherries and apricots. So fight the powers that be. Thanks for listening. We're out of time. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Please make a donation. I need your help to support the program. Thank you for listening. Go to the website, goveganradio.com.